Hey y'all, I hope you're having an absolutely great day, week, night, month, year. Yeah, I just hope that your life's fucking great right now. So, I want to update you on some things that have been happening. So, first of all, this is officially the third episode, technically. Second after the introduction. But, nonetheless, we have made it officially into the third episode, and I am a lover of the number three, so I'm super excited. I am also getting closer and closer to launching Bridal Bell. She's supposed to launch this weekend. I'm speaking to you on today. Oh my god, today's Tuesday. I swear to god, I thought it was Friday this morning when I woke up and I about had a heart attack. But it's Tuesday, and I'm finishing up some stuff for launch for Bridal Bell, like my flow for my subscribers, as well as some newsletters. So it's gonna be interesting the rest of this week because I am utterly exhausted. I am also really starting to step into my role at a regular exposure. I'm the marketing coordinator, and if you know me, you know I love marketing, but Irregular Exposure is going through kind of a transition, and we've talked about it openly, and like we're trying to, you know, really go into that luxury, like attainable luxury market. And so with that, the marketing has to follow, but the marketing has to go into like a transitional period. So it's low-key, like I have to think in two different market mindsets, which is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But I'm also trying to implement new systems and programs and opportunities for growth in Irregular. So it's been fun. I have literally been having the time of my life. I am a firm believer that I have some really great ideas and some really terrible ideas. And I think in the past couple of weeks, I've found a lot of really terrible ideas, which is always super frustrating to me. Like, I hate it when I have bad ideas. But it's not even that they're bad, it's just that they're not going to be implemented well at this time. And so I was thinking too far ahead, I think, which like, I don't believe there's anything that's too far ahead, because in a sense you just have your eye on the prize, but in a logical sense, I don't need to be financially planning for something that we can't do for another 5 years. So, I'm super excited for some projects that I'm working on. I'm so excited for them to be announced to the public and me be able to tell you all about them. But yeah, I am just like super stoked, and I can't wait for you guys to see what we have been doing over at Irregular Exposure, what I've been doing over here at Bridal Bell. And you know, this podcast is just becoming more and more fun. Like I said, you guys are like my human diary, so I just really wanted to sit down and talk tonight, and I was like, I know I need to film my podcast episode for this week, so like, let's just make it happen. And I'm not wanting to look at my funnel right now, so like, that's kind of what I'm playing with. I've been like in marketing mode all day long. I've been like, you know, making emails and coming up with all kinds of new strategies and systems. And so I really just like didn't want to funnel something, because I'm like, I've been thinking about funnels all day long. But I will definitely hop into it right after this, so it's not like I'm getting out of it. The life of an entrepreneur. But I also have some exciting news. My best friend hit me up about her wanting to actually start a business, which, oh my god, I'm so excited for her. I love her vision on this. If it's similar to the vision that she had on a previous project that we did together, I'm so stoked for her. I love the vision that she has told me about it so far. She's still working out some details, but I'm so excited and proud of her for this, because like, the entrepreneur life is not built for everyone. It's really fucking hard sometimes. And I'm just super excited for her. And like, I'm sitting here talking about how it's super fucking hard, and Bridal Bell hasn't even launched yet. Like, pre-launch is hard. Like, I haven't even got my LLC straightened out yet. Like, I haven't even gotten approved for a trademark, and it's already fucking hard. Like, this shit is not made for everybody. So I'm proud of her and realizing that she wants to do this and going forward with it. So I am just super excited. She asked me if I could do her marketing. Oh my god, I could scream. I was so excited. Like, I literally was telling all of my other friends, I was like, you won't believe what Sarah wants me to do. Like, I was so excited. I have always, like, it's been low-key a dream of mine to have a marketing firm one of these days, but I wanted it to be specific and sustainable marketing. I'm a sustainability nerd, so I really like the idea of sustainability, but I want to have a sustainable marketing firm. As you can tell, I have a lot of dreams and aspirations, and I want to dominate the bridal industry and dominate the marketing industry. Although the marketing industry, I'm fully aware that I'm not the smartest person in the room, and low-key, I love that. I am all, like, I'm addicted to being the smartest person, the best, the, like, whatever. And yeah, it might be unhealthy, but, like, it's a very competitive thing that I have in my head, and I truly am addicted to this, just, like, I have to be the best. With that in mind, I am fully aware I can never be the best. Somebody's always going to know more than me. Somebody's going to be more of an expert on a specific topic. Somebody's going to be prettier. Somebody's going to be taller. Somebody's going to be, like, it's not going to change that I'm never going to be the best, but I continue to push myself to be the best, to learn new things, to know statistics, to be able to toss out numbers. Like, they are literally, like, candies out of your grandma's purse. Like, I'm so addicted to that. And so I'm super excited for all that. But I am also super stoked because I talked to one of my friends the other day, and him and I are both really big into sustainability. As I mentioned, like, I want an eco-friendly wedding. Like, there's only going to be candles and flowers at my wedding. I don't want any food waste. Like, I'm big on sustainability. And with that, I am wanting to do, like, work on a production firm with this person because I have a product development degree from the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. He has a fashion design degree from the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, but him and I worked heavily together on a sustainability product development project for Lucky Brand. Not Lucky Brand. Oh my God, who was it? I worked for Lucky Brand at one point. It was a project that I did, but he and I worked on one. It was called, we had one that was called Dirt to Shirt. We had one that we presented to somebody. Oh, Guess. We presented it to Guess, and, well, we didn't present it. Our teachers were supposed to present it, and we never heard anything back. So I'm truly not sure what happened with that. But him and I were literally, like, nobody else in that group did anything. Him and I would be at my apartment until God knows when, trying to figure out the ins and outs of this project. I'm the one that taught him how to do tech packs. He did not know how to do tech packs. So, like, he knew how to do a tech pack, but there were some things, like, if you've ever seen a tech pack, there's, like, a spec spot. Or spec spot, that's kind of funny, a spec sheet where you have to have, like, arrows with corresponding numbers or letters, typically letters, because you don't want to confuse anybody with numbers whenever you're talking about measurements. So on the sketch, you have arrows that's, like, a shoulder to shoulder. Well, the points are supposed to match, not go past the shoulder lines and not be underneath the shoulder lines. Like, it's literally supposed to touch seam to seam, so that way people are aware, oh, it's seam to seam, that it's supposed to be this measurement in this chart. So, sorry, if you didn't get that, I really do apologize, because it's really hard to understand unless you've seen it. So, Google a tech pack, and it'll make a lot of sense. Or a spec sheet, it'll make a lot of sense. But, neither here nor there, I taught him how to make his tech pack look better, more professional. And it was just an Excel tech pack. Like, honestly, at the companies that he's at now, their tech packs are fucking ridiculous. Like, they're insanely beautiful. I'm obsessed with them. I've asked for the template, because I'm obsessed with their tech packs. They're so pretty. But neither here nor there, I hit him up the other day and I was like, tell me I'm crazy. And he's like, I probably will. And I was like, you probably will. Because I am all about, like, constantly having ideas. Like, if you stop having ideas, you should be concerned. So I hit him up and I was like, you and I like sustainability, are obsessed with it, like, truly are very passionate about sustainability. We're both trying to implement it in our everyday jobs, even, like, big on it. And he's like, yes, we are both passionate about sustainability. Okay, idea. We both love product development. Yes, we do both love product development. He agrees. He actually was helping with product development over in his company, and now they have somebody that manages that totally, so he doesn't really touch it. And he's like, it's so nice, but I do miss it. And I used to manage product development at a Regular Exposure, but it honestly got to where there were too many hats that I had on, and I couldn't maximize my skill set because I was stretched between too many places. And so with that, both of us have, like, this itch to get back into it. We're like, it looks so fun. And not to mention, like, I really like talking to people, like customers, clients, like, whenever people come into the Regular Exposure showroom, I get super excited because they're wanting to know how to dress, where to dress, where to wear it. They have this occasion, whatever it may be. Or, like, even the bridal salon, it was my favorite because these girls were coming in, like, girls and guys, everybody was coming in for the biggest days, like biggest day of their life. And I was so excited to be able to be a part of that and be able to help them feel most confident. And so it's that itch of wanting to chat with people again, wanting to hold some structure for people, wanting to be like a sound mind for people, I think. With this in mind, I pitched to him that him and I should start a sustainable production firm. And I was like, I can't start this project this month. Like, it's gonna have to be this summer. We like play with it and like start getting stuff moving, and then we launch it 2023. And he's like, I'm down. Like, we just have to find the vendors for the most part. I'm like, exactly. Not to mention, there's like little to no money that goes into this. We have the contacts, and the person that is running the production line is the one that has to have the money. Like, they're the ones that have to pay us for doing all of this. And we tell them what the, like, there would be package breakdowns, and we would be able to like do all the stuff. But like, my whole thing trying to explain to him was like, I'm not going to be left alone doing this, because in a sense, like, my responsibility would be communicating everything to the client and ensuring that everything stays clean, clear, crisp, organized for the client and in-house, where he would be communicating with vendors, updating WIP reports, updating spreadsheets, and ensuring that like that communication was handled between the vendors so that way nothing was confused. Not to mention, he's a designer and he's really big on the like measurement spec side. Like, he's very, very strong in it. And so he would be best over there for fit, aesthetic, design. Like, he'd truly be really great over in that area, where I have the vendor list that I have populated for like my own sustainable company that I was gonna have for a minute, which my bridal company, everything that I'm gonna do is gonna be sustainable. So it's really great that I have this list already. But the sustainable vendor list that I've created, these communications with vendors that I already have, like, I have the Rolodex and I have the clientele that I know I can reach out to, and we can really make something happen. But it would all depend on units and all that kind of stuff. So honestly, it would be a lot of fun. I pitched it to him. He's like, it's genius. I love it. Let's do it. Let's just get it rolling. And I'm like, okay, like I said, I have half a business plan written out. Like, you know how like Drake has this song and it's like she's got a business plan in her head, but she hasn't had the time to write it down. That's what that felt like. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, I have half a business plan, a half-baked idea right now, and I need more time to figure out the logistics of it, but low-key, I just wanted to see if you'd even be on board. Like, if you weren't going to be on board, I didn't want to even put more time and effort into this, because I truly know I can't do it by myself. Nor do I really want to. But in LA, sustainability is becoming a bigger topic, and there's only like two sustainability firms that are like well-known in downtown LA. With that being said, we're sitting in the fashion district, and him and I both have a good chunk of rent that we have to pay every month. And I'm like, if we pulled on 3 to 4 clients, and even if they had small packages, we would still make our rent payments. Like, with what we would offer, we would still make our rent payments. Do you know how nutso that is to me? Like, do what? We would still be able to do all that. Like, it'd just be a stream of income, and we'd like, yeah, you're taking in a stress, but if it's organized and done correctly, there's no way you can fail. Literally no way. And you're bringing in all this crazy money. Like, this is the moment, the bossing up part of the podcast, because like, this is the way that I need you to even think about it. Like, it's not all about the money. It's about helping people at the end of the day. Like, every thing that I have come up with is helping somebody do something. So with Bridal Belle, it's a one-stop shop for brides to get everything they may need except the dress. I don't have the dress part yet. Like, I'm working on it, but like, truthfully, I don't have the money for it. So I don't have dresses, but I have vendors list, a venue list. I have like my newsletter, trends, up and coming, planning opportunities, wedding coordination opportunities, day of coordinator opportunities. I have all of these opportunities for people to capitalize on, and it's all in helping you. And I'm charging a very fair price on all of it. Like, it's all in helping them. In turn, my next one with this, I'm just here talking to you guys. Like, I want to hear in DMs what you guys think. I want to hear how you feel. I want to know what you want me to talk about, who you want me to have on, who you want me to cold email. I have started cold emailing people for this podcast because I'm like, I just want some cool ass people on here. Like, that'd be pretty dope. But I mean, let's be real, I'm sitting in front of my computer at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday night, so Heck, I went to go and I had a friend text me, the friend that I had actually talked about in my last episode. She had texted me this morning and I'm like, oh my God, I meant to sign up for this hip hop class. I completely forgot. And she's like, no, I totally get it. I'm like, I will make it up to you. We will go do something. Like, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, it's totally okay. I felt so bad. I'm like, I'm such a shitty first impression friend. Like, what the hell is that, Josephine? But again, I woke up this morning thinking it was Friday, so please don't blame me. But neither here nor there. Back to the bossing up part of all of this. Living in LA is hard. It's expensive. Oh my God, it's so expensive to live out here and live a fun, leisurely lifestyle. So you have to find money wherever you can, but I don't want to compromise morals. So you have like this balance that you have to keep. And so it's like with Bridal Belt, as I said, with this podcast, hopefully eventually it becomes big enough that I will be able to like pull on sponsors and stuff like that. But truthfully, I don't see that happening for a couple years. So I'm not even stressed about that. Like, this is just fun for me. And then we have, oh God, what else am I doing? I have my 9 to 5. And then I have that thing with Sarah. So she's doing her whole little startup and everything. She's wanting to have a collection launched by the end of this year. So I'll be pulling in money from doing the marketing for her. And then this whole production firm thing that'll literally take maybe 2 hours out of my evenings every day. If that, like, not even every day, like, I'm not communicating with the people, with the companies, like, that's all my partner. So then all I'm doing over here is communicating with the customer and making sure that they stay happy. So keeping up our repertoire. But other than that, I'm not in charge of any of that. So I find that really, really great because then it's like, we're pulling in an income that isn't hard to pull in. And a majority of Bridal Belt's income is going to be more of a passive income. Like, I don't have to do anything. Like, the big chunks of income are obviously from, like, wedding planning, engagement party planning, bachelorette party planning, like, all of this planning. But, and, like, that's where the big hitters are at. But as for, like, my everyday pull-in, like, that's people subscribing for the magazine subscription. That's people, you know, purchasing that's people purchasing a list. That's people purchasing the wedding planner. Like, that's people just purchasing all this stuff. And it's just pulling in income for me. And a lot of it's virtual. Like, the planner is going to be the only thing that's printed, and that's not going to launch until 2023. I'm still developing that. And I have a handbook that is going to be printed. So, like, I will have some inventory, but it's not going to be anything compared to, like, what my, you know, ready-to-wear company that I plan to launch in 2024 is. Like, that company is going to be absolutely crazy with the amount of inventory. Like, by that point, I'm hoping to have a studio, an office, a loft space, something, so I can actually house all of this stuff and hopefully have a few employees, because there's no way I can do all this by myself. Like, I can't, like, in a sense, I'm in a position now where it's like, I've got to launch this one to build it up enough so I can afford to hire people to launch the next one. Because they all coincide with each other, and I'm not able to launch until I've launched, like, till this one's considered successful in my book, to where I can actually afford to pull people on. And it's going to bring in so much passive income, and, like, honestly, the planner that I'm planning on doing is, it's not going to really change, but every 2 to 3 years. Well, I say that. It'll change every year, because I'm a perfectionist. I'm going to want to make sure that everything's up to date. But it'll be just a few tweaks and some playing with pages. It's not going to be anything crazy. After the skeleton's built, like, that's what I feel like people forget about, is, like, sometimes all you have to have is the skeleton, and then you can move forward and just throw in all the fluffy pieces that you want. Like, the skeleton is the hardest part, truly. Like, building the bones is the hardest part. So I say all this to give you an update, I guess, but I guess I kind of jumped into my topic, and that's really, like, my topic today is faking it until you make it. I love this podcast, or I love this topic for the podcast, because truthfully, I feel like this is my fucking life. My mom has told me to fake it till you make it since I was like 4 or 5. Like, I can't even tell you how young I was when this woman started bringing this saying into my everyday life. And it would be like, I'd get self-conscious, or I'd lose some confidence, or whatever it is, and she's like, put on that smile and pull that chin up so that crown don't slip, and let's get moving, fake it till you make it. And truthfully, that is what life is all about. I don't know why anybody's over here talking about, like, fake it till you make it such a terrible phrase. Like, I have had people tell me that before. They're like, I hate that phrase. I feel like it's so contradictive. And I'm like, how? Like, truthfully, how? And it's more than anything, like, I feel like faking it till you make it is more of a confidence boost. Because truly, when you think about it, faking it till you make it isn't saying to have fake confidence. It's not saying to pretend like you are, like, the best. Like, it's not telling you that. It's telling you to truly believe in yourself and what you're doing, because what you're bringing to the table is relevant, true, and true badassery. Like, I love the phrase fake it till you make it, and I use it honestly weekly at least, because I really do feel that it does something to yourself. I'm not saying that you should go around preaching it to people of like, oh, well, you're having a hard time, well, smile, pretend that it's okay, fake it till you make it. No, I will never say fake it till you make it whenever it comes to emotional things like, you know, a passing in the family or a breakup. No, no, you don't deserve that. I don't deserve to tell you how to feel whenever it comes to that. No, no, not at all. I don't deserve that to tell you how to feel at all. You don't have to listen to me worth shit. But faking it till you make it, I feel, completely relates to confidence. So if I don't feel confident walking up and talking to a guy, then I need to, in a sense, build up the courage or fake it till I make it. At least pretend that I'm confident, and boom, all of a sudden I can walk in 6-inch stilettos and I'm the hottest girl in the bar. You know what I mean? Like, it's not ever fake it till you make it, like, put a pretend smile on your face, like, mask your true emotions. No. It's always a confidence boost and, in a sense, a mental trick in your own head. My mother always taught me, you know, fake it till you make it, and it's a phrase that her and I really stuck to, because, like, let me give you some insight. She's a paralegal, so this phrase was something that her and I really just, like, kind of clung to every now and then, because it was so beneficial for our lifestyles. I loved History Day. I hated Science Fair, but I loved History Day, and I was in DECA, and I absolutely loved DECA. My mom is convinced I can sell I can sell my way out of a wet paper sack. In a sense, I can sell anything, and love her for that, but DECA was where that was really proven to be true or false. And so it was more of a fake it till you make it moment. Like, you don't know that you're bad at it until you try it. So, like, at least pretend that you're really, really good at it, because you might just be. And so, and until you get, like, we're all human. So until you get something, some sort of achievement in your head, a measure of achievement, which everybody's measure of achievement is different. My measure of achievement with DECA was I wasn't going to honestly be fully confident in myself and my everyday life until I had something under my belt that was a look of achievement for me, and it was DECA Glass. And DECA Glass is an international trophy saying that I've won something, or I've honestly BS'd my way through it enough that I've actually made it. Like, that's what making it was in my head for this business co-curricular activity, because it's not an extracurricular, it's a co-curricular. I learned that, but neither here nor there. This was all something that her and I would talk about, because I had to go in and pretend I knew everything about this certain project, this certain campaign. I had to pretend and, like, BS my way through it. And I will say this because this is my job, but marketing is truly just BSing. Like, you're just convincing people that they need whatever you're selling. People probably don't need one style in 12 colorways, but I'm going to convince them and manipulate them to thinking that they do. It sounds terrible, but it's really not. It's just, and you can do marketing in a really bad way, and you can do marketing in a really good way, and I choose to use kind methods of marketing. There are really, really bad ways of marketing. Like, the cigarette industry is terrible with how they market. The vape industry hate how they use their marketing tactics. Like, some marketing tactics are really, really not good, and they're very mentally detrimental. However, if you use marketing in its correct way, and for good, not for bad, like me telling you you need a dress in pink, white, gold, blue, silver, and purple is not bad as me telling you, you need to buy 12 packs of cigarettes because you're going to look cool as a 16-year-old that can smoke. No, I'm not telling you to do that. And so, although marketing is just master manipulation, it is something that you kind of BS your way through. And that's with anything. Whenever I was a bridal stylist, I was over here acting like I had sold millions of dresses. And it was my first day. There was a girl, I looked at her and I said, "You're my first dress I sold." I told her after I made the sale, I said, "You're the first dress I sold." And she started crying. She's like, "Oh my God, what? It seems like you've sold dresses so many times." She could have sworn that I was like her 100th bride, or that she was like my 100th bride. And she was my very first one. I was so excited. And I like literally could not breathe. I was so stoked. And so with that, like, what I'm trying to say is that confidence is truly just a mindset. It's truly just a trick. And so, like, faking it till you make it is just a concept of, like, oh, I'm pretty badass. Like, I can do this. And I'm not saying that you have to have, you have to find the things that give you that confidence. And that you feel like you're not faking it. Like, eventually it'll feel like you're not faking it. And that's, like, literally the best day ever. Whenever you, like, feel so confident in yourself that you don't feel like you're an imposter. Like, I struggle with imposter syndrome still to this day. Like, you're always going to struggle with it. But there comes a point where you're like, I am really good at what I do. I had that moment the other day. My boss had looked at me and she was like, "You should be really proud of how, you know, everything worked out this month." And I was like, you know, I actually was looking at the numbers this morning and I am. I'm super proud of myself. Like, we did that. We did that. Sorry. But if you know me, you know I sneeze all the time. But I truly don't see harm in faking it till you make it, because eventually you will make it. And that's the beauty of it all, is this is not a forever thing. You sitting here and convincing yourself of all of these things is not a forever thing. Eventually you'll just know it. Like, I would not have had the confidence to look my best friend in the face 3 days ago and say, whenever she told me about launching her brand, I'm like, "Well, let me know. I'd love to do the marketing for that." I would not have told her that 6 months ago. There's no way. Absolutely no way. But I believed in myself enough and felt that I've done enough to prove to myself that I can do this for her, that I can build something for her, that I can find her market and truly target for her, that I felt completely confident being like, "Let's do it, man. I'd love to." Because truthfully, like, social media is hard. Marketing in general is not the easiest, because you're dealing with people, you're dealing with the human brain, which changes its mind every waking second. So there's so many things to put into consideration. You're literally studying people's behavior every single day. Every single day. You're reading the newest articles, you're learning what's going on. Like, marketing is always learning. You're continuing to learn every day, and you're learning new algorithms, you're learning new ways to, you're learning all kinds of new things. And it's terrifying, because truthfully, you don't know how many of those things are actually going to work. Like, I was looking at my friend the other day and I was talking to him and I was like, "You know, it hit me that now whatever I suggest for us to do in marketing can make or break a collection." Like, I could be the person that totally accidentally runs this stuff to the ground because I didn't market it correctly. And it's not out of lack of trying. It's just it didn't hit. And truthfully, most fashion brands, or any brand for that matter, is not okay with that. They expect their marketing team to be so on lock that everything's a hit. And that is completely understandable. I can't even be upset about that. Like, duh, you want everything to hit. I want everything to hit. And so with that, I had to sit there and I had to realize the other day, like, the company is putting a lot of faith in me. I'm putting a lot of faith in myself, and I have to make sure that I back this up. So I had a meeting with my boss this morning, and she was talking about how, like, in every campaign, we need to make sure that we have the data to back it up. It doesn't need to just be an idea. Like, it needs to be a well thought out strategic plan. And I had been thinking about it last night because I had sent her this brain dump and it was just all these ideas I had. And I knew it overwhelmed her because it overwhelmed me. And her and I have a hard time with that. We've admitted it, that we have a tendency to overwhelm the other person because we are overwhelmed. So we get stressed out and we just kind of like, hey, what do you think? And it's just so much. And so with that, we are obviously working on it, but I am getting to do what I love, which I had to take a break in the podcast for a second because I was actually on the phone with my friend and he was asking me what I was doing. I'm like, I'm actually filming a podcast talking about you every now and then. And it's very interesting because I'm talking about faking it till you make it. And he was like, oh, cool. And I'm like, yeah, it's been fun. Like, I've enjoyed this podcast so far. Like, I really enjoy, like, sharing my insight on me also completely understanding, not wanting to fake it, not thinking that you're even in the position to fake it. Like, you feel like an imposter. And feeling like an imposter is never fun. Oh, my God. It is never fun at all. Like, I hate imposter syndrome. And I will use that word. I hate that, like, I hate the word hate. No, I truly do not care for that word because it's such a strong word to put on something. Like, it's such a strong feeling. But I hate imposter syndrome. Like, why you gotta come into my brain and make me feel like I don't belong here when I definitely earned my spot? And earning is such a unit of measure that is so, like, oh, what is the word? It starts with an S. I love words. Oh my God. What is it? I can't remember. But it's like so situational. It's all up to another person's opinion on if you are up to par. Like, if you think about it, standards and all of this stuff, like, we're just living to other people's expectations every single day. So I completely understand feeling like an imposter, but I'm in such a great, positive, healthy work environment. I can't even imagine the idea of feeling like, oh, I feel like an imposter. Fucking why? Why do I feel like an imposter? Like, my boss told me I should be here. I told me I should be here. Everybody thinks I should be here. Why in the world do I think I don't belong here? Why is my brain telling me this? It's the chemicals. We hate them sometimes. But neither here nor there. I love the fact that I'm assuming that most of the people that are on this podcast are relating to what I'm saying, and I feel like you probably went through this too, and it's a moment of literally, like, you're sitting there, you're doing something that you do almost every fucking day, every day, and you're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. We are truly all just BSing our ways through life and pretending we know what we're doing. Pretending. We are pretending. And you can't convince me that not every single one of us is pretending that we know what we're doing. Unless you're a surgeon, I really hope you know what you're doing. But for the most part, none of us know what we're doing. Especially in a creative industry. It is so hard to know what you're doing. Because you don't. Everything can be a hit. It could be a fail. You have so many opportunities that can go one extreme or the other. And, like, my friend that I was talking to, he is a designer, and he feels the same way. Like, I remember talking to him when he first got this job last year, and he was like, you know, honestly, I don't know if I belong here. Like, I don't feel like a designer sometimes. And it's not that he didn't feel like he had a designer in him and that he wasn't doing a good job. He just felt like he wasn't living up to standards that were set in the company. So he's like, I just don't feel like a good designer. Sometimes I feel like I shouldn't be here. And each one of us have had that moment. You can't tell me you haven't had that moment where you're like, I don't feel like I belong here. Like, if you're doing something in the world, you don't feel like you belong here. Sometimes it's even in a marriage, like, or I can't say marriage because I've never been married. But, like, in a relationship, there's been times that, like, with, like, the guy I'm talking to or with my ex-boyfriend, I would sit there and I'm like, I don't deserve this kind of love. And it's not that I don't deserve it, but it's like, how did I get here? How did I get here? Like, when did this sweetheart, gullible little person become this little baddie that now is talking to this guy and is, like, opinionated and doesn't give a shit about whatever he has to say whenever it comes to my opinions, whether he agrees or not? I do not care. Like, you wonder how in the world you got here and if you're faking it. And maybe that is just a me thing, and maybe I really do need to go to a good little chunk of therapy, but neither here nor there, I do feel like a lot of us go through that where we just sit there and we're like, how did I get here? Do I deserve to be here? Listen up. You deserve to be here. You deserve to be on this God's green earth giving the world your talents, your gifts. I don't know why I'm good at marketing. I don't. Because honestly, I don't know what I'm doing a majority of the time. I sit there, I research, I find my numbers, I hope for the best, and I make something pretty. I make it happen. I just fucking make it happen. And somehow, it usually works out. I haven't had a campaign fail. Like, have some done worse than others? Yeah. I don't even like using worse. Some have done better than others. But none of them have failed. There's not been a single campaign I put out and we don't get a sale. Like, that's not... Sorry, I have a pen in my hand now. I get anxiety or get heated about something and I just click, click, click. I definitely do that. It is a toxic trait of mine. But nobody knows what they're doing. In creatives especially. Like, in STEM, I feel like it's easier to know what you're doing. There's a lot of systems. It's all straight lines, black and white for the most part. There's very few gray areas whenever it comes to, like, STEM, doctors, stuff like that. I don't know because I'm not over there, but I feel like a lot of it is very black and white, straight to the point. No, you can't do this and this because then this will happen. You want to do this and this so that way this happens. It's like a positive versus negative. Where in a creative industry like fashion, art, music, movies, entertainment, all of it, it's not that easy. Truthfully, like, I don't know how else to say it except for the fact it's not that easy. And it's not even that it's not that easy, because nothing's easy. If it was easy, then everybody would be doing everything. But the creatives are harder to know the next step. The steps consistently change. And like my boss and I were talking about it today, it's like, yeah, we're gonna have a 3-month, 6-month, and 12-month plan for our marketing strategies, campaigns, and exactly what we're planning on doing, but those are bound to change every 3 months. There is no guarantee that what I said was gonna happen 12 months ago is actually gonna happen in 12 months. By next April, we could be sitting here with a completely different outcome than what I actually had planned to happen next April. So with all that in mind, it's like you can't expect yourself in a creative industry to always feel like you belong, like you know exactly what you're doing, because none of us fucking know what we're doing. I didn't know how to be a bridal stylist. I didn't know how to be a personal assistant whenever I started working for Jess. I didn't know how to be an executive coordinator. I didn't know how to plan events where I wasn't actually at the venue until the night before the event. I didn't know how to do any of that. Not a bit of it. And yet, I did it. So it's not that you don't know what to do. It's not that you don't have human instinct in knowing what step to take next. It's that you're scared to do it. Like, it's truthfully just a lot of in your head kind of shit. And I totally get it because I'm right there with you, sister. Like, I am the worst about being in my head. Like, heck, today I was sitting there and I felt so confident in my position. And I was like, I'm feeling good today. I'm feeling like I belong in this seat today. Like, I have data, like I have good ideas, like I have a good understanding of my customer. I feel like I get it. Like, feeling like you get it is such a good feeling. And the only reason I got there is because I fucking faked it. I faked it. I pretended that I knew what I was doing until I did. I cannot tell you, like, why I'm good at marketing and why my friend is good at designing and why my other friend is good at communicating with vendors and why we all have a knack for something. I cannot tell you why, except for that God put us on this earth to share each other's gifts and to make shit happen. We're here to make our dreams come true, and you can't convince me anything else. Like, we are here to make shit happen, and the reason we're given gifts is so that we can work together collaboratively to make shit happen. Like, my friend reaching out to me saying that she wanted me to be the marketing coordinator of her business was such a compliment to me, because that is a gift that I have that I love sharing with people as much as I can. Whenever I reached out to my friend about us doing this production firm, he was excited because I noticed a gift that he has that he would love to capitalize on and monetize. Whenever I came to my boss and I said, I really love marketing, I want to do this, I was so excited that she was on board and also saw my gift that I have been given. I have won awards for marketing. I've done this for marketing, so and so, whatever. I've seen enough results where I am confident in my skills in marketing. I just completely understand that shit changes every single day, especially in the creative industry, especially whenever it comes to marketing. Like, the way that people consume content changes every day, and TikTok is truly a perfect example of this. Like, I'm gonna go on a little bit of a rant because TikTok is great. Freaking love TikTok because TikTok really shows you that things change in minutes. Absolute minutes. Not only is the slap around the world everywhere right now, like, I cannot open my phone in the morning without there being a Chris Rock and Will Smith meme on my newsfeed and CNN saying something about them going to arrest Will Smith. Like, I can't do anything about that. But TikTok has made a whole ass rap remix out of this. There have been trends after trends. Like, there are new trends every 2 days on TikTok. Every 2 days. And it depends on the culture and where you're at on TikTok. Like, what side of TikTok. There's literally sides. It's like a fucking die. Like, oh my god, I can't even think of it. It's like a 20-side die, and they use it in Dungeons & Dragons. Don't ask me how I know that. But, like, they use it in Dungeons & Dragons, and it's a 20-side die. Like, that's TikTok. There are literally hundreds of sides to TikTok. And each side has their own specific market, their specific culture. Their way of understanding and consuming content is totally different than another side of TikTok. It's like a, like, low-key a color wheel. Like, the one on this far side can mesh with the one completely across from it, but right next to it, nah, they don't vibe. They don't vibe because the humor is not there, or the serious isn't there, or the practicality isn't there, or there's not enough food videos. Like, TikTok is such a great example of the marketing world because it's literally always changing. Instagram changed their feed preferences. You can now have feeds. You have multiple feeds that you can choose from every single day. You have your favorites feed and you have your regular feed. And both of these feeds can cater exactly what you want them to do, but you have to choose what goes in each one of them. You have to decide. Like, you get to play and literally make your feed exactly what you want. Is it only two feeds and we expected three? Yes. But neither here nor there. There are multiple feed options. And this was because of a whole case that some very concerned parents did against TikTok and Instagram. And Instagram blamed their algorithm, so they made it to where you can personalize your algorithm, so that way they can't be thrown under the bus for people getting addicted to the algorithm. Because the TikTok algorithm is fucking genius. I don't know who came up with it, I don't know what data filters are in place, but the reason that thing is so big is because of how addicting it is. I was on TikTok for literally an hour and a half today, not doing anything. Not doing a single thing. I wasn't gaining research. I wasn't getting reels. I wasn't getting ideas. No. I was literally just breathing on TikTok. And I was having the time of my life. Like, it's addicting. Addicting. So, I say all that to say that things change consistently in the creative industry. Trends are up and down. Everything's absolutely crazy all the time. So, no. We never know what we're doing. We never know what we're doing. Like, Jess is the CEO and head designer, and she doesn't know if her designs are gonna hit or fail, but she's praying that they hit, and she's confident in her designing skills that it's gonna hit. Just like I'm confident in my campaigns. Sorry, Sarah's texting me. It's just like she's confident in my campaigns. I'm confident in my campaigns that they're gonna hit. Just like we're confident in our team that it's gonna hit the deadline on time. Just like my friend is confident in her brand is going to hit a market that isn't quite open yet. Like, there's so many, you literally just have to be confident and pretend that you literally own the place. Fake it till you fucking make it. I feel like that's a great ending. I feel like that should be on a t-shirt. So, I'm going to end it here. If you'd like, you can follow or subscribe to the podcast. Follow on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and get a notification every time we get an episode in. You can also follow us on Instagram at brunch.babes.bossingup. And I hope to see you next episode, as it's going to be a really, really good one. Do I know the topic yet? No, but I'm going to fake it till I make it. So I am excited to see you next time, and I hope you have a great rest of your day, week, month, year, whatever it may be. I just hope you have a great life. All right, all love. Bye.